Steve Jobs once said, "Your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do." Employment may be the single greatest factor to our standard of living, consumption, and to our economy. It should come as no surprise, then, that we spend a significant proportion of our time to understand the labor market in Canada and the United States, the level of employment and unemployment, and to the direct and indirect consequences to labor market conditions. Each month, we get a new set of data to analyze, debate, and plug into our models. Last week's release of the jobs data in the United States presented an interesting scenario. With the resolution of the United Auto Workers and Hollywood strikes in early November, expectations were set for a normalized December report. What was the result? A significant 216,000 increase in payrolls, which surpassed expectations by 40,000. However, as is often the case, the devil lies in the details. Today, let's explore the latest labor trends and what they mean for the economy as we start 2024. I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist at IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as we discuss the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of January 8th, so listen on as we navigate the living market. The better-than-expected job increase for December was initially received negatively by the markets. Why? Well, a strong labor market means a strong economy, and a strong economy means there is less pressure on the Fed to cut interest rates in a hurry. However, as we learned more about the details underneath the headline numbers, the report ended up being much weaker than initially thought. So, as bad news is good, the equity markets rallied. Okay, this may all sound very bizarre with bad news being good and vice versa, but let me explain. Investors hoped for a Goldilocks jobs report that was not too hot nor too cold. Anything between awful and great was acceptable. Counterintuitive, but keep in mind that the markets are more interested in the direction of interest rates than pretty much anything else right now. A very hot jobs report means less rate cuts, and a very weak jobs report means a hard landing recession. Neither are desirable. So what was in the details that changed the perspective on jobs? First, for the 10th time over the last year, the previous month's numbers were revised down, meaning there were fewer jobs gained than originally reported. Revisions reduced the totals for the prior 2 months by 71,000. So suddenly you have a report that is 40,000 above expectations, but removes 71,000 from the last two. Then we had data that highlights a trend towards reduced worker needs. Yet, at the same time, we still have a hesitation to lay off employees. The average weekly hours worked dropped slightly from 34.4 to 34.3. Hourly wages saw a monthly increase of 0.4%, which was slightly above expectations. Now, this combination of decreased working hours and wage growth translates into a 3.8% annual gain in average weekly earnings. While overall inflation may still be above the 2% target, wages are increasing at a rate above prevailing inflation. This is a positive sign for the consumer when incomes are growing faster than inflation. The majority of the recent job gains were concentrated in government and education or health services. These accounted for more than half of the new jobs over the course of the month. What's happened to the private sector? Well, we gain a little bit of insight if we look at the ISM Services Index, which covers restaurants, travel, and leisure, among other services sectors. And it saw a sharp 7.4 drop in the employment component to just 43.3. So employment is contracting as far as the services index is concerned. This makes it the lowest figure since its inception in 1997, excluding COVID. Now, additionally, the NFIB Small Business Jobs Report showed a decline in the plan to hire component, which dropped by 2 points month over month to 16%, which was the lowest since June, and only 1 point above the post-COVID shutdown trough. Lastly, we saw a notable shift that occurred from November to December in what was called, or what is called, the household survey. This is a decrease, or we saw a decrease of 683,000 jobs. Now, it didn't spring off the page because it was offset by a 676,000 reduction in the labor force. This kept the unemployment rate steady at 3.7%, and once again, proved the point that we've been making in our 2024 outlook and other comments, that the new demographic paradigm of retirees outnumbering new job seekers would keep labor conditions tight. Now, from this deluge of data and numbers, it becomes evident that the situation is not as straightforward as it first appeared. While there's a noticeable increase in job creation, it's not emanating from sectors typically indicative of early cycle improving economic conditions. The reason is, we're not there yet. We are still in the soft landing part of the cycle, that is, slower economic growth without high unemployment. And remember, soft landing doesn't mean no landing. There is indeed a slowdown in hiring, as evident by the three-month moving average, but keep in mind that we are coming from a very hot labor market of a year and a half ago to a cooling labor market, and the cooling, while noticeable, seems to be a natural shift towards a more balanced economic environment. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.